Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
A little soggy, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah, you got to love this weather.
Love this weather. It actually feels a little bit like a mister when you go outside today.
A mister?
Yeah, like a nice fine mist. It feels refreshing, like being at the spa.
Okay, if you say so.
All day long, like being at the spa.
I'll go along.
We've got a great lineup of guests this morning. Very interesting businesses that we're featuring today. The first one, I think this concept is very clever, using humor and improv. The Blank Stage is a really unique concept here in Atlanta. It's a production company, and with us today we have Michael Harper and Brent Brooks. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks for having us.
So I'm not sure who's going to talk first, but both of you guys are very funny guys. I visited the website. Tell us, first of all, Brent, how did you get involved with Blank Stage?
Well, I started an improv troupe back when I was in Georgia State and always loved improv, getting in front of people, and all through high school I did that, and didn't really know I could do it for a living until I took an improv class at college, and we formed a troupe called the Comedy Response Unit. And our old stomping ground was the old Playboy Club off Lucky Street that was dilapidated, and a group of artists turned it into a studio where artists lived, and we did shows there once a week, and it was really, really exciting. And since then, I've just been keeping that path and doing classes, doing shows, and so forth.
So, Michael, I understand that you've been creating your own story since the age of 8.
Yes.
You've written comic books and all kinds of things. So what brought you to Blank Stage?
Well, actually, I wanted to draw comic books. And as I got into comic books, I realized that the best stories were coming out of my imagination. So I started writing my own stories. And then went through the Art Institute of Atlanta and got my degree in computer animation. And from then, I took a script writing class, and I was hooked. And so now I am primarily a screenwriter, and it may seem sort of counterintuitive to have a writer be a part of an improv group. I get that a lot, but it's actually a lot of fun. So I've been working with these guys. I guess I would be considered the new member of the family, the fresh, young, handsome, beautiful young buck who has just recently joined Blank Stage.
That's how Brent described you.
Exactly how Brent describes you. So Blank Stage does more than just improv. Tell us a little bit about how you incorporate humor in business.
Well, we started with the classes, and we have a class called the 10 Commandments of Improvisation. And through a lot of networking events that I go to, we attracted a lot of business owners who want to think quicker on their feet when they're doing their elevator speeches and getting up in front of crowds and being more lively and being more attractive when they're in front of people. So our class attracted those kinds of people, business owners, and we just started having a really good time. And that kind of – I was swimming one day, and I've been always wanting to merge improv and my video production passions. And I just had this idea of creating a scenario where business owners could come in, and the improv team and Michael – we would just kind of surround that business and have what we call improv-a-storm, where the business owner has the luxury of having us creating marketing ideas and concepts. We want to create your Super Bowl ad with by the end. And the way I want to frame it is, imagine the cast of Saturday Night Live doing a marketing campaign for you and your business. So we've just kind of launched this, and Michael's a key asset in our inception of this new endeavor.
I owe him a quarter for that.
how did the businesses like it? When you go into a business, how open are they?
Well, we've just started. We've had three or four businesses come into our studio, and we've basically – and this is a free experience for the business owner right now. but we're lining up business owners really quickly, and they love it. I mean, we have one of our business owners was the Crate Master, who's going to – we have an event this Saturday night, and he came out with some great taglines from this. He can't really go forward with the video production, but he was just super excited about how other people perceive his business, and that's another benefit of what we're doing.
I think that's the real strength of the improv-a-storming. The business owners come to us, and their area of expertise is their business. Our area of expertise is creative problem solving. We think outside the box, and we take all the strengths of improvisational acting and we mix it together with a traditional brainstorming session. And it's like nothing they've ever seen before. And, you know, even if nothing comes from it, although a lot comes from every session, they have a great time. Mm-hmm. And it's, if nothing else, it's a way for them to revitalize themselves and look at their business in a new way.
Because people love to laugh. And really, you think about the best commercials and the best marketing campaigns, people love to laugh and have fun.
Yes.
Interesting. So how can people take part in one of these seminars or one of these brainstorming sessions that you have? What's the best way?
Improvistorm, they would just contact me, I think, Brent@blankstageproductions.com. Then they'll be in our fabric of communications. We'll get back in touch with them and line up a session for them. And that easy.
When I lived in Chicago, we used humor to get past the gatekeeper in pharmaceutical sales. And oh, yeah. I'll tell you, it worked. It definitely worked. So what you guys are doing, you're really onto something here in the Atlanta area. I hope a lot of business owners will look at their business a little bit differently and let you help them think outside the box.
Mm-hmm. We hope so.
Yeah, I mean, our goal is to create, like I say, a Super Bowl ad. But the internet is changing the way, you know, marketing's done. You can create a kind of a funny viral video where, hey, man, you got to see this video, and they'll send mm-hmm. it to five of their friends. So that's another kind of leg of this, too, when you come out of an Improvistorm session.
People need to check out your website, too. Can you list that?
Yes, it's www.blankstageproductionsalloneword.com. And we want to invite all the listeners. We're having a huge launch party, our new improvisational comedy show that takes place at the Blank Stage Theater. Is launching. Our launch party is this Saturday night at 7 p.m. It's at the Blank Stage studio space, so you can come see our studio space and maybe schedule your company's Improvistorm session. We're in the Artisan Resource Center at 585 Cobb Parkway up in Marietta.
I'd also like to offer anybody listening a free something for free. We are we have a green screen in our studio, and if anybody calls in or talks to you, we are offering a free elevator speech video.
Ooh,
which is $450 to $650 value. So whoever calls, do people call in here?
No, but people will call you.
Now.
Don't
people
call
me. People will call us now.
And a little bit more about our show. Our show is called Mr. Right Enough. And the concept for this show is you've seen these Facebook and MySpace pages where people try to put their best picture and kind of fib about their stats a little bit. Well, this guy in our show does the exact opposite. It's an anti-MySpace, anti-Match.com site where he lists defects. And he creates
it.
A mini revolution. And we act out audience members. People come in. It's optional. You can fill out a profile. And you have the opportunity to see your profile projected by our players on stage.
Oh, I don't know that I would want that.
It's optional. No, we would love to have you. In fact, you guys both are coming in for free for our opening night.
You know, I work for Aflac. You could have a whole lot of fun with that.
We could have a whole lot of fun.
You'd have
that.
To choose between Aflac and this. I think, well, you'd have to, you know, let us mm-hmm. know what we want you to. We can spoof whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
But
I'm
how
sure
often can you go to the theater, have a night at the theater, and actually watch yourself on stage or an actor portraying you on stage?
I don't know that I want that. Sounds like a lot of fun, y'all. Thanks so much for sharing your concept with us, and we really hope people will reach out and think outside the box and contact you.
Well, thank you guys for having us. And, yes, Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
It's free. Free crepes.
How could you pass that up?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got the crazy crepe guy coming.
Yeah, crepe master.
Gotta love that. Thank you so much. And you know, Lee, I love to have fun.
Yes, you do.
You know, I love to have fun. And my family knows how much I love board games. I grew up with board games. I can't tell you. I've got closets full of them, and they never get old. No matter what comes out new with batteries or electronic, I still go back to the traditional board games.
You're old school.
I'm way old school. As a matter of fact, I almost always have a deck of cards in my pocket. I don't today because I'm wearing a dress. But you'll see me in the airport, at Starbucks, you name it. I love to play cards, sorry, any kind of game. And I'm really excited about our next guest from Zila Sport. All the way from Columbus, Georgia, in the rain, we have the president and founder of Zila Sport, Spud Alford. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Tell us about your company and how this got started. I love the concept.
Well, I was actually sitting in my living room when I was recently married, and my wife, we had already been through two Olympic Games. I was a decathlete and trained 8 hours a day for eight years, and when it was over and we were no longer going to be going to be poor because I was going to get a real job. She's thinking, now I have a practical husband. And so I went to work at a bank, and one night I'm watching TV and some kids playing paper football on a show, and I thought to myself, everybody on the planet knows that concept with folding a piece of paper and triangle and hangs over the edge, it's a touchdown. Kick the field goal through the finger goal post. And so I pulled out a big old piece of paper and started drawing, and you know, 2 years later, we've got a big company. But, you know, I think she was thinking, oh, Lord, here we go again. My practical husband is disappearing again. And, you know, entrepreneur that I am, we just started a little at a time and built a prototype. And here we are today with a company and an NFL license and 60
universities. So when you started out, was it embraced by, like, the toy manufacturers, or you did this all yourself?
No, we're alone for several years. I mean, the toy industry is real slow to embrace anybody. I mean, as big as Trivial Pursuit was, the first 3 years they sold zero games. Mm-hmm. In their fifth year, they sold 30 million units. So they're slow to accept your game and your product. They want to make sure you're going to be around for a while. And I had a friend that said, you've got a good game. You probably should call the NFL and see if they'll license this thing. And I called them, and they said, you'll never get our license. You're too young. You have no money. And they were right on both counts. And I said, can I send it up and let you just look at it and tell me what you think? Well, 3 weeks later, I'm in Manhattan signing a contract with the National Football League.
So that changed the game for you?
Well, it walked us through a lot of doors. One, it gave us some credibility, and I played football at Southern Miss, as did my brother who works with me now, and we knew Brett Favre's attorney. So I started begging, and I begged him for 1 year before Brett said, come to Lambeau in Green Bay, and we went up and took pictures with him, as you see there.
Wow, what fun. So you got a Toy of the Year by Family Fun Magazine in 2007. That had to feel really cool.
You know, I turned to my computer one morning, and it's an email from these folks of Family Fun Magazine, owned by Disney, and it says, congratulations, your game has been picked as one of the Toys of the Year. I said, finally, this licensed football game that's costing me so much money a year for the license, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I scrolled down, it said Finger Baseball. And I thought, oh, man. Golly. It's unlicensed, and it's a great game, and it took us probably the longest of any games to create. But, that opened a lot of doors as well. As soon as it hit their magazine, we sold out of baseball games quickly.
Oh, I bet. I mean, I read Family Fun and have for many years, and I always go by their picks because they're usually pretty good from an educational perspective.
A lot of people must, and I was not aware of that magazine and what they did.
Yeah, it's great. So what have been the highlights in your career inventing this, coming up with the concept? I'd love to know. I mean, where does one start, and tell us some of the highlights.
Well, it's a difficult undertaking. Obviously, you know, you go to China to see if they can be involved, and we went over there, and you know you're in a different country when you're over there. It's not like being in Europe, but very hospitable, nice people. If you watch the Olympic Games, you know they're great folks, and they've got a great country. We watched them do it. They screen-printed our games, and they did it by hand, and it scared us. I thought, they're never going to be able to keep up with production. So our plastic parts are made over there, but we have our screen printing done here in Minnesota, and they can keep up with what we need to happen on a daily basis. It's an interesting deal. I thought, you know, I've been through cancer, and I've been through 8 years of Olympic training, and I was a federal investigator before I did this, and I worked with Aflac for a while and some other companies, and this is by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. One, the toy industry is very difficult. It's controlled by a handful of big companies. And, you know, store space on shelves is limited, so they are really looking for what they believe will sell.
They only want winners.
They want winners, and, you know, they're very rare to take a chance on a new company. But it's miracle after miracle with our company. It's just continual things have happened that have opened doors. Pepsi saw our game, and they're getting ready to put us in store displays all over the nation to use our game as a part of their display. Family Circle just picked it up, and they're going to do an article on us and put us in their holiday gift guide. So companies are starting to see that we're not only for real, we've got a game that's putting families and kids back at the kitchen table together playing games that don't require electricity or batteries. And it's just the old nostalgic time in our lives when it was much simpler and we played board games together.
Why don't you go through all of your games? Because it's not just football and baseball. You have several others.
The first game was obviously the football game. Got the NFL license. We now have 70 university licenses, most all of the SEC schools and around the country as well. when I did that, my head just wouldn't stop. I said, you know what? I think I can do every sport. And golf game came to me in 1 hour. I had it drawn and all the rules written in 1 hour. Wow. Sent that to the PGA Tour, and they loved it, and they licensed us, so we're licensed with the PGA Tour. They've actually given us permission to follow the tour and hold tournaments for kids at the actual tour sites. Mm, we're just too small to do it, but we're getting people in place as we speak to do these kinds of things for the company. Sat with some guys in a room and created the soccer game because I had never played soccer, didn't know the rules. So they talked the sport, and I drew and wrote the rules as they – I just listened. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that Saturday, we had the soccer game. Now we've been approached last week by FIFA, and they want to put their license on it and get us ready for the World Cup in South Africa. And then, let's see, what was next? The baseball game. I've got a buddy of mine, my best friend. We got in a room one day and just started talking. By the end of the day, we had the baseball game, and it went on to win Toy of the Year last year. In my brain right now is hockey, which we have been approached by the National Hockey League. NASCAR approached us to create a NASCAR game.
Wow.
That's in there. I'm almost finished with a tennis game, and I've got basketball, and probably will do an Olympic decathlon since I'm fairly familiar with that sport. So.
Oh, yeah, you've got to do the decathlon.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a hard one to do.
It seems like it would be hard, but once we get in a room alone and we got to drawing and talking, it is actually easier than what you would think.
Can you talk us through, like, I know it's hard on the radio to understand, like, the football one we all understand, but, like, the baseball one, can you talk?
Yeah, the baseball field is actually an actual baseball field, and you can see it at our website at fingerfootball.com. Go to the baseball section. It is an actual baseball field. The pitcher actually, instead of the old paper football that we use, we have this ball bearing with plastic wrapped around it. It's called our slider, mm-hmm. and all the sports are played with this slider piece. And you are on the mound, and you flick it towards the home plate. Well, if you land on the home plate, it's a strike, and you do the strikes and balls on the side. But around the plate, there are singles, doubles, triples, home runs, balls, hit by pitch. And if you land on one of those, say you land on a single, well, the batter doesn't get a single. He now has the right to swing at the ball. So he puts the slider on the home plate, mm-hmm. and now he flicks it towards one of the single spots in the field. And if he lands in that particular square, he gets a single. If he doesn't, it's an out. Or it may say strike beyond it, and he gets a strike, strike one, strike two, whatever. And you just play an entire nine-inning game, and it's actually a lot of fun.
How long does a game take?
Most of our games take about 45 minutes. Baseball, as you know, if you don't strike out, it can last forever, which it can go on for hours. Baseball takes a little longer. But the rest of them take 35, 45 minutes, football included.
And all skill levels can play, like, you know, an adult can play with a child, it doesn't matter.
On one of our tournaments, we had 11-year-old all the way up to a 57-year-old. We had a granddaddy playing in the tournament, and that was one of the neat things about our concept, is that a parent, a grandparent, and a child can all be in the same tournament together, compete with and against each other. We had an 11-year-old that beat a 47-year-old for the $500 prize. It was actually his uncle.
But you
would have thought he just won the Super Bowl.
The tournaments happen throughout the year, right?
We are just starting this year. We have an inaugural tournament that is starting August 30th in Columbus, and we have an 8-city tour this year that will culminate at Callaway Gardens in Pine Mountain, Georgia, with the 2008 National Championship with a $10,000 first prize.
Wow.
But we've got some major corporations that have found this. We've got an entertainment attorney in Los Angeles that is the branding force behind The Contender and The Apprentice, and he found us. He said, guys, we can take this big time on a national level, and I can get the Coca-Colas and the major companies behind this. If you need to get it working on a local level, and then we can take this thing big time. So we're starting this year, and we hope for it to be a national event that families look forward to every year. It will be the National Finger Football League.
Great.
I've been training for the finger football for the last 2 years. Michael and I both have been doing some finger push-ups and
there you go.
Finger curls. So we're going to be tough to beat this
year. There you go.
Are you ready? Yeah. You know, you could probably have some kind of training program for that.
We are writing a finger training manual. You should look at my fingers right now. They are pumped up. I'm going to be tough to beat.
You are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
I better start training.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, something you can do at work. I mean, you get the little slider and you just sit and flick it.
That's it.
It doesn't require outdoors, and if the weather's bad, you're inside training.
They call me the flicker at work. I'm the flicker.
Kind of our tagline this year is, if, you know, gas price is a little high, if you can't get to the stadium this year, to take the stadium home with you.
That's right.
That's great.
And how do people get the game right now?
At our website right now is the main place, www.fingerfootball.com. There are some major stores that are picking it up. We're in a lots of little bitty mom and pop sporting goods stores. The Air Force just bought 10,000 pieces, and they're going to be on every air base on the planet.
What?
And the Navy is getting ready to order 10,000 pieces and get them to their not only their seamen out on the ships, but their bases as well. So, and we're getting ready to send some. We sent some golf games at the request of the PGA Tour to our soldiers in Iraq. So. Our game's over there, but it's all over the world now. We're getting requests. Obviously, our soccer game is a world sport. It's much bigger than what we know here is football and baseball. I mean, you've got billions of people that love that. So we're getting requests from around the world.
How exciting. What a great business concept. How long have you been around again? You said 2 years?
2004 is when we actually formed the company.
A lot of progress in a short period of time. We'll have to keep our eye on you, too, just to see where we see all your new finger sports.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
You know, we believe in kids. We believe in family. And that was our whole drive, was to create something that allowed families to communicate again. And so far, and I'm getting letters and emails from moms saying, thank you, Spud, for creating a game that's got my family back together at a kitchen table. And we're actually talking again. I see the front of my kid's head instead of the back of their head.
Gosh, that is so true. It is so true. Well, I mean, Lee, you've got a son that probably plays games. You've got to agree.
It's so important. To, like you said, your whole family can interact together instead of the kid just playing a video game in a room by himself.
Right.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Give us your website one last time.
www.fingerfootball.com.
I can't wait to play my game.
Brought you a Miami Dolphins and a Georgia Tech game.
Oh, right. Georgia Tech.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Lee's the Dolphin fan.
Thank you.
It goes great with finger food, I understand.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a whole different show. Wow, we could go on and on with that. I love to cook. Spud, thank you so much for being with us today, and we hope you have a safe drive back to Columbus.
Thank you so much.
Also with us today, we have Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi is sort of like Madonna to me. I don't even use her last name. It's just Chi-Chi.
Just one name. Right.
Just one name. And I'm also feeling like Spud, Chi-Chi, Amy, which one doesn't belong today?
Exactly.
Not real sure. Chi-Chi, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from Simple Networking.
Yes, thanks for having me here this morning.
Chi-Chi is the owner and producer of Simple Networking, and has a very interesting approach to business and to getting the networking ball rolling. Tell us about that.
Well, I started the business in January of 2006, and my background is French cultural studies. So I was fluent in French and was doing translations, but it didn't give me a chance to be creative. You just have to translate what they give you. That's the job. And so for a long time, I was just sitting around thinking, well, what can I do? Where's my passion? How can I have fun and enjoy what I'm doing? And I decided that I wanted to teach seminars. I'd already been teaching French classes and doing translations, and I thought that if I could teach people how to network, that would add a lot of value and be fun. I could be creative in how I organize and present my seminars. I could be creative in how I pass out my materials and how I brand myself. And then I can actually choose my target audience.
Mm-hmm.
With translations, the target audience pretty much chose me.
I bet. What a unique skill set as well. What are some of the classes you currently teach and where?
I have basically three types of seminars. We have business networking, which teaches professional etiquette, how to have a good handshake, how to introduce yourself, different types of questions that you can ask during networking. I have image consulting, where I teach people how to build a professional wardrobe, as well as how you can use your image to build your credibility. And then I have cultural awareness, kind of piggybacking from my French and African background. My parents are Nigerian, and so I'm very familiar with African culture, and I studied African studies at Emory University. So I do a lot of seminars at Emory and Georgia Tech, and I'm trying to branch out into different universities here in Atlanta.
Now, what are some of any tips you can give us, any etiquette tips?
I was looking through, I've started writing a lot of articles online through eZine articles, and at first it started out as just a stress reliever. And then it turned out that I was writing so much that I became number one in the business networking section. So now there's stress to stay on top.
Yes, I saw that. I mean, you've got a lot of great articles and a lot of original content. content? I mean, how do you come up with all that?
A lot of it is just from going to networking events. I always tell a lot of my participants to get out into the field and experience the networking lifestyle. And there was one day I was sitting down. I was just so bummed out, Amy. I was like, I should have just stayed home. I could have stayed home, saved money on gas, and just watched TV, eat
play
ice cream.
Finger football.
Yes, play finger football. And that's some of the things that you deal with. You get psyched up about a networking event. You've planned for it. You go out and you don't make one contact. You know, you pass out your business cards, but no one returns your messages or your emails. And so I started writing articles called Networking Blues. And I just had different type of perspectives on networking. Like, you run out of business cards. You're talking and no one's listening to you. You can't find your ideal client, or you just keep going to these events late, so you're missing out on people that you could meet.
Or people just aren't funny enough.
Right. Exactly. So, and then a lot of tips. I wrote a very simple article on just the proper handshake. And how you should, you know, have a firm grip, even for women. A lot of business women that I meet have limp handshakes, and it's very disrespectful in foreign countries, foreign cultures, and it shows a lack of respect. When you have a firm handshake, people are more likely to trust you more, and it conveys a lot of confidence.
Something so basic, and you're right about that. When someone does shake your hand and it's like the wet washcloth, you don't get past that. You don't forget
exactly.
It. You just don't.
Chi-Chi, you shook hands with me. How would you rate my handshake?
Oh, on a scale from 1 to 10, 20.
Oh,
sure.
Wow.
It's the finger training.
Right. It is.
It's paying off, finally.
What are some of the other things? Like, I know if I have a business lunch or dinner, I'm really uncomfortable with the paying of the check. When I've invited someone, it's my responsibility to pay, right?
Yes.
Okay. And even if it's a man, that are listening, it's okay. Let me buy you lunch. It's okay.
I tell, I work with a lot of college and university students, and I tell them, when you're going to interviews for dinner, if you know where the restaurant is, I suggest that you go on their website the night before and look at the menu so that when you get to the event or to the venue, you know exactly what to order, and just have a backup order so you're not sitting down waiting. You know, people are waiting for you to make your order. I told them, in real restaurants, the food comes out all together. So if you're spending 5 or 10 minutes fumbling over the menu, everyone's going to see that, and you don't want to draw that kind of negative attention. Same thing when you suggest a lunch or a dinner. You're paying.
Right.
Even if the other person has more money than you, you're paying.
And I agree with that. I've always kind of agreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people just always want to buy me lunch,
exactly.
But it's more of a generational thing, or even a gender thing.
Exactly.
I find it in business, and maybe it's just a Southern thing, too. I enjoy having people buy me lunch, but that is the rule of thumb, right?
That's the rule of thumb.
Do you have any events coming up?
Yes, I have a book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Fayetteville from 2 to 4, September 13th. So I'm very excited about that. Still looking for some sponsorship opportunities, but I want to make it the biggest and best book signing ever in Fayetteville, Georgia. So I want to have mimes, I want to have music, I want to have games, and just have
any
it like
crepes?
Very fun. Sure, I can have crepes. Not a problem.
We know a crazy crepe guy.
Yes, okay. We do.
So your book is available through Amazon.com as well, right?
Well, no, not yet.
Yeah.
But you can purchase it or view excerpts of the book on my website at www.snseminars.com.
Great. And check out all of Chi-Chi's incredible articles, too. I learned a lot from that. I printed a lot of them out and shared a lot of them as well.
Thank you so much.
What's the best way for people to contact you?
You can contact me through my website at www.snseminars.com. You can also contact me by email at info@snseminars.com or my cell phone. I do answer my cell phone, and that's 404-293-0918. Or you can Google me.
Excellent. Lee, any final thoughts?
No, you show. Great guest.
Yes. Thank you all so much for being with us today. And until next week, we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week.